If you want to follow the message in your Bibles, you can turn with me now to Philippians chapter 4. And also, of course, message notes are online on the app and on the website. Just click on the media tab, bring up the Cheltenham Weekly notes, and you will find notes and discussion questions there for you. I'm going to share with you today, the title of the message is Dealing with Disagreement. And I think this is an intensely practical message, and especially during the COVID crisis. We've seen a lot of people disagreeing about lots of different things. There's been conspiracy theories and lots of disagreement I've noticed on social media, and some people literally falling out with others as a result, which I think is very, very sad. So I want to share with you some really practical principles today on how we can deal with disagreement. So let's read these verses together. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 2. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion. Here he's talking about Epaphroditus, the guy who, along with Silas, helped Paul establish this church in Philippi, the capital city of Macedonia. So he's appealing to Epaphroditus to actually help these two women sort out their disagreements, their conflict. Help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. So he says, help these women to deal with their disagreement, to resolve this conflict situation so that the church won't be destabilized. And then Paul, in the next few verses, shares a number of principles about how to deal with disagreement. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So here we read about these two women, Euodia and Syntyche. Great names. If you're expecting a baby at the moment and you know it's a girl, well, you might want to put Euodia and Syntyche on your baby name list, but then probably not. I mean, Euodia actually sounds like an insult, doesn't it? You know, if you were having a disagreement with someone like that, you could go, oh, Euodia, and it would sound like an insult. And then, of course, Syntyche. These two women were in conflict. And if they were alive today, if they didn't want to deal with their disagreement, they would act like some church members. They get involved in a disagreement with somebody else and then they take off. God suddenly tells them to go to this other church, as if that when they get there, they're not eventually going to have some sort of disagreement with somebody there as well. And so what Paul is teaching us here is that when we have disagreements with others, when we're in conflict with someone else, rather than running from it, we actually need to face up with it and deal with it in a biblical way. Because if you run from it, you become like the children of Israel when they're in the desert. You know, they just go round the mountain again. Does this look familiar to you? Round the mountain again. And God will just take you around that same mountain until you grow up and mature in your faith and deal with the disagreement. On disagreement, we need to understand that it is a normal part of life. Let's be realistic about this. Even in church life, a bunch of imperfect people all together in one community is a recipe for disagreement at some point in time. And so we need to deal with it well so that we can find this peace that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4. So let me give you some principles today on how to deal with disagreement. First of all, rejoice, Paul says. In verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. Just in case we didn't get it the first time, Paul is saying it again for emphasis. Rejoice. Rejoice means to be cheerful, to be calmly happy. And when you're having a disagreement with somebody, this is the last thing you want to do. You don't feel like rejoicing. You don't feel calmly happy. You don't feel cheerful in any shape or form. You're having a disagreement. You're having a conflict. And so the opposite of calm and happy will be part of your heart and mind at that time. And so Paul is saying, push yourself into your, or rather out of your comfort zone to a place that's actually going to be better for you and better for the people around you. I don't know about you, but during the last few months, I've put on a couple of COVID kilos, things that I certainly want to get rid of over the next few weeks or months. I love exercising. I love to go for a walk every day with the dogs. I miss the gym at the moment, and I'm looking forward to the gyms opening up again. But there's certainly been times over the process of time that I know that I need to go and exercise, but there's nothing in me that wants to do it. Maybe the weather's a bit wet, cold, whatever, or I'm just feeling a bit lethargic, and I can think of 100 excuses not to exercise. But at that point of time, I just need to push myself into a place that I need to be. And when I've done that, when I have exercised, afterwards I feel so much better, not just in my body, but in my mind and in my spirit as well. And that's what Paul is talking about here with rejoicing. You don't feel like rejoicing, but you need to push yourself out of your comfort zone for your spiritual and for your mental health. So rejoice is number one. Number two, he says, be gentle. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. This word in the original Greek, gentleness, it means to be restrained, to be appropriate, to be patient. When we're in conflict with someone, of course, these qualities go out the window. Disagreement invariably leads to impatience and a sense of you wanting to be punitive. You've hurt me, I want to hurt you back, I want to punish you, which really is the definition of unforgiveness. And so he's saying here, be gentle. Let your gentleness be evident to all. When we are angry, we often say things that later we regret. Those words come out so easily, but then they're out there. You can't recall them. And so often we say things that we don't mean. And so it's important that we embrace this truth that Paul is talking about. Let your gentleness be known to all, or be evident to all, because the Lord is near. In other words, Jesus is watching. Solomon, in all of his wisdom in Proverbs 15 and verse 1, he put it this way, a gentle answer turns away anger or wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so if someone's angry with you and you come back at them with anger, and they will then stir up anger and it escalates. Whereas if someone comes at you with anger and you return with a reply in gentleness, it will de-escalate. And of course, sometimes it really annoys them as well, which is not the reason you do that, but I just thought of say that by the way. Have you ever written an email when you're angry? I certainly have, many times. Just sat down at my computer keyboard and someone's angered me or annoyed me or whatever, I'm in a dispute or a conflict with someone. And, you know, I'm a two-finger typer, but it's amazing how fast you can bang out an email when you're feeling a little bit stirred up emotionally. But, you know, the thing I've learned over the years is it's fine to write the email, but it's not fine to send it. So you can write it because that can actually be really good therapy for the way that you're feeling, because you actually get to express yourself. And so I'll do that and then I'll put it into the drafts folder. By the way, a little handy tip here, never put the person's email address in the email just in case you push send by mistake, okay? Not that I've ever done that, but just by the way. So put the email then in the drafts and then leave it for 24 hours. 24 hours later, you come back to it, you read it again, and one of two things will happen. You will either delete it completely and be very, very glad you didn't send it, or you'll reword it, rechange it, because now you're feeling calm and gentle and you'll express things in a much more healthy way. Number three, don't worry. Verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Again, this is counterintuitive. Disagreement inevitably leads to anxiety that plays havoc with your head. We've all experienced this. You're in dispute with somebody, and this thing is always on your mind. Maybe it stops you from falling asleep. Or maybe you fall asleep, but then you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and this thing's buzzing around your head and it keeps you awake. Or it's the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning. So important that we put Paul's words into practice here. Do not be anxious about anything. I wonder what your default mechanism is when you're in conflict or disagreement. Where do you go? Where do you go in your mind? Where do you go with your actions? Is it healthy or is it unhealthy? When some people are stressed, they're stress eaters, so they go to the fridge. Other people, well, they just want to talk about it with everybody else, and that turns into gossip, and rather than fixing a problem, it spreads it. Other people, well, they just want to escape. They want to check out. Well, I'm going to go and play computer games. I'm going to watch TV. I want to watch a movie, and they check out. We all need to train ourselves to have a healthy default mechanism. And point 4 is that mechanism for the follower of Jesus, and that is be prayerful. In verse 6 of Philippians 4, the apostle writes, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In other words, make prayer your default mechanism in all aspects of life. And so, you know, we could rewrite the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, into Don't Worry, Be Prayerful. You cannot worry and pray at the same time. And so Paul writes here, in everything, in every situation of life, pray about it. Heartfelt prayer and petition, which means to appeal or to plead with God with thanksgiving. And that's really important because if you're anything like me, you have had prayer times which have been complaining kind of gripe sessions to God, right? And when you have those complaining times and you call it prayer, you feel like your prayers kind of hit the ceiling and bounced off. You have no faith, you have no assurance that God has heard your prayer, and certainly no assurance that He's going to answer that kind of prayer. So thanksgiving is so important that in our prayer life, we use language of gratitude. And so with that, we present our requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word peace here literally means to be set at one again. It refers to peace of mind. It refers to wholeness. When you're in dispute, when you're in conflict, you often feel divided. You feel double-minded. But this peace that comes out of godly prayer brings you back together again. It brings wholeness and peace of mind. This peace is one of the things that you cannot work out with your head. It's above the intellect. It doesn't make sense that in the midst of conflict, you would know the peace of God guarding your thoughts and your feelings and your heart as well as your mind. Number 5, focus your thoughts. Paul says in verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Your thoughts will naturally gravitate towards disagreement that you're going through with a particular individual or individuals. You'll go over and over the same ground and nothing will change except you will feel worse and worse. And so we're taught here, again, train your mind, filter out the negatives and focus on this list that Paul gives us here, things that are noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy and true. That which is attested because it's been tested. I referred earlier to, you know, some of the false information that's been floating around people's conversations and Facebook and Twitter feeds and some of the articles that have been shared, which are absolutely false information about COVID-19 and conspiracies and all of this kind of stuff. Paul says, focus on the facts, focus on the truth. So if someone shares something with you, go and check it out. Get the truth, get the facts. So very important. I've written a number of blogs on this recently over the last few months. And so if you go to the Bayside Church website or the app under media, you'll find Pastor Rob's blog. And I encourage you to read some of those blogs that will blow some of these COVID myths away. Finally, number six, Paul says, imitate godly people. In verse number 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. You know, all of us teach a whole lot more by the way we live and act rather than by what we say. All of us are walking examples of what Jesus is really like. Some of us are the only Bible some people are ever going to see or read. And so what Paul is teaching us here is that we need to be able to observe the lives of godly people and how they respond to and deal with disagreement in their lives. And after you've watched them, the apostle says, imitate people like that. Whatever you've learned or received or heard or seen, put it into practice. In other words, perform it repeatedly and habitually until that behavior becomes a natural part of your life as well. I'm fairly active on social media, and I do that because I think it's a wonderful way to connect with people, pastor people, share different things, truth, word of God, all of that, and some humor scattered in there as well. If you follow me on social media, you've probably noticed over the years the way I respond to people. I always do so with kindness, with respect, with gentleness, in a measured way. And even when they want to get argumentative or whatever, always a gentle answer turns away anger. And I do that hopefully because other people will be able to see that and be able to imitate that behavior on social media. I've had many people feed that back to me over the years. Put these things into practice, says Paul, and then the God of peace will be with you. And so there's some principles, some very practical principles. All of us will face conflict and disagreement at one time or another. And next time that happens to you, revisit this message and look at those principles and put those things into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, on your message notes, you'll find some discussion questions right at the end. Can I encourage you in your connect groups or just with a group of friends, maybe on Zoom, or if you can meet outside at a park somewhere, revisit these principles that I've shared with you today and look at those discussion questions and go deeper into the word so these principles will not just be a good sermon, but a good life.